talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Starting Wisconsin, Republicans up to their usual skullduggery. They are now appealing to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Court of Appeals decision to keep drop boxes at least for the February 15 election. Now today is January 27. So February 15 is 19 days away. It's 2 weeks from this coming Tuesday. And these clowns are going to the higher court, to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, to block drop boxes. Right now, drop boxes have been reinstated. Clerks have been instructed not to get together for training on how to get rid of them on short notice, but go ahead with them. Remember, there are about 500 of them that were in use in the last election. It went smoothly. It was around the state. Most of them were in Republican communities, by the way. There were no problems whatsoever. Some votes have already been cast. Early votes have already been cast. They're in those drop boxes. What's going to happen to them if they get frozen right now? There is a principle of law that if there is a lawsuit this close to an election, and even farther away than this is unbelievable. This is right in the doorstep of it. Courts will not interfere for this election. And the Court of Appeals decision left open a review of drop boxes after February 15. Certainly for the April election and certainly for the August primaries, partisan primaries for governor, senator, and Congress. But to yank them on the eve of the election is disruptive of an election. Some people have already voted. The ballots are already in those drop boxes. Can't throw those drop boxes away. Bipartisan decisions over time have simply been, all right, we'll look at it, we'll take it under advisement, but we're not going to tamper with this upcoming election because it's too close. Robin Voss, sneakily throwing gasoline on the fire, he said publicly before that he opposes drop boxes. He's doing it to pander to his base. But now, when this thing is pending, basically 2 weeks before the election, 2 weeks from this coming Tuesday, he goes, I won't say. I have an opinion on it, but I won't say. The problem is his opinion counts for something because he's the speaker in a gerrymandered, corrupt Republican majority in the legislature. They get 2/3 of the votes, but they don't even win half of the popular vote. Or maybe they do win half sometimes. Gerrymander, and we are the most gerrymandered state in the entire country, has resulted in Voss. If we didn't have gerrymandered districts, Voss might not even be in the assembly. You would have to have Republican candidates who got elected in hitherto Republican districts, who at least were sane, at least weren't out to knife our democracy, gave some illusion of moderation. But even if Voss did manage to sneak in an ungerrymandered election, he certainly wouldn't be speaker. The kinds of Republicans who would get in, and first of all, the speaker could well be a Democrat and he'd be the minority leader. But secondly, the kinds of Republicans who would be in that caucus would be dependent on appealing to independents and some Democrats to get in, even in Republican districts. Right now, they're so overwhelmingly Republican, you could put Vladimir Putin on the ballot. Republicans would vote for him. In fact, they kind of like Vladimir Putin. Tucker Carlson, Jesse Waters, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump, Ron Johnson, they all like Vladimir Putin. They like authoritarianism. They turn the other cheek. They show the white feather. They scurry away in the face of Russian organized crime. But that's not going to happen in Wisconsin in our state elections, obviously. Certainly not anytime soon. But there they are. They're going to the Supreme Court. And it's predictable. Six of the seven votes, in my view, are predictable. Why do I say that? Because three of the votes, three out of the seven, are people who, they're independent. They're all elected as nonpartisan, but three of them have Democratic backgrounds and have shown a great deal of knowledge of the Constitution of the state and the country. They're not going to tamper with an election 2.5 weeks before it occurs. And three of them will do anything to benefit the Republican Party, anything. And by that, I mean, they voted not to certify Joe Biden as president of the United States, even though he'd won the Wisconsin election by more than 20,000 votes. That was a lawless decision. That was a decision, just like Kevin McCarthy and 147 Republicans in the House of Representatives who voted not to certify Biden, even though he won a majority of the electoral votes and 7 million more popular vote than Donald Trump, 7 million more. Donald Trump got 74 million, and everybody goes, that's the most votes anybody ever got as a Republican. That's true. He also lost because Biden got 81 million. 81 million. Biden got a little over 300 electoral votes. He only needed 270. And even then, 147 Republican congressmen voted not to certify him, and three of the seven Supreme Court justices in the state voted not to certify his victory in Wisconsin. So who's the seventh? The seventh is Brian Hagedorn. Brian Hagedorn. Brian Hagedorn, I have come to admire many of his decisions. He's a Republican, a conservative Republican. He won a race that should not have been lost by the more Democratic-leaning candidate. The way the campaign was run, in any event, he won. However, he has consistently, with one exception, stood up and voted to apply the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the Wisconsin Constitution, to political matters, even if they didn't benefit his party. For instance, he voted to certify Biden's victory. So the vote was 4-3. Otherwise, by a 4-3 vote the other way, Biden would not have been certified. There would have been litigation to the U.S. Supreme Court, which has six Republican justices on it out of nine. And who knows what they would have said? They might have said, the legislature picks the presidents, not the people. The heck with the people. And then what are you going to do about it other than a rebellion? That's how close it got here in Wisconsin. He also, in the past, stopped people from being thrown off the voter rolls just before an election. He threw people off the ballot who hadn't complied with the filing requirements. He did a number of other things. The one area that he dropped the ball was in gerrymandering. By a 4-3 majority, the Republican justices voted to keep the gerrymander of 2010 until 2030. So you're going to have 20 years of gerrymandering at least. That will result in further degradation of our environment, forever chemicals in our water. You think you're hunters, do you, and fishermen, and you're Republicans? You're out of your mind. Open your eyes. It'll also contribute to the slow destruction of the University of Wisconsin, the excellence of a great university, because anti-intellectuals and people, Trump types in the legislature, continue to cut its money. It will mean another 10 years of Milwaukee being attacked, deprived of money. Milwaukee sends about $400 million more to the state government in taxes and it gets back, and they all hold on to it and continue to starve Milwaukee. We're not going to have a transit system or a public park system in 4 years if something isn't done by that. And the Republican Supreme Court has kept gerrymandering in for 10 years up until 2030. He dropped the ball on that, on gerrymandering. But in other things, he has applied the Constitution. And in this particular one, I'm going to read some tea leaves. There was a decision in a lower court to throw out hundreds of thousands of people from our voter rolls just before the election. Many of them were simply people who hadn't voted in the last several elections. Republicans wanted to throw out anybody who hadn't voted in the last election. Well, how many times have you missed an election? I don't miss elections, but a lot of people do. If you were thrown off every time you didn't vote, had to stand in the registration line, a lot of people could say the heck with it. Well, you know what he did? Hagedorn voted to keep them on for that election so that that would not happen, so that that would not happen, and then deal with it over time. You know, people who legitimately moved, because let's be blunt, when you move, you don't send a letter or an email to the election commission saying you moved. You don't do it. And after time, that has to be cleaned up. He did the right thing. In this case, because we're so close to the election, my prediction is that Brian Hagedorn is not going to throw out lock boxes, drop boxes, this close to an election. What happens after that? We'll see. What happens after that? We'll see. We'll have to have some form of drop boxes to accommodate elderly and disabled people who don't want to stand in line. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.